Well, amen. Thank you, Steve, for that blessing in song. Amen. What a great message. Amen. Don't forget the things that we have heard already last week. Wednesday this time, Brother Farnham started us off, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And we want to make sure that we apply what God has given to us. And on Thursday, he talked about out of the miry clay, talking about out of the clay pit of self-dependence and self-importance and self-indulgence, dealing with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We can't do it, but God can. Then he came back on Sunday talking about the will of God for our lives, the sovereign will of God, and will of God according to the scriptures, and the will of God in satisfaction, and the will of God in salvation, and talked about all those things and dealing with the specifics in the will of God, how God has a will for our lives. And we want to make sure that as we go on from this point on, we take those things, begin to apply those things, listen to those things, and continue to go towards those things as we listen and applying the Word of God in our lives. Because God does want to do special and great things in our lives. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to continue on with our study in the Acts of the Apostles. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn those to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and whilst you are turning, let's go ahead and stand as well, and we're going to go and read two verses, 31 and 32, and pretty much going to try to pick up where we left off last time, dealing with Paul's statement to the Philippian jailer, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and trying to give you more fuel and equip you that when you go out soul winning, you can talk to somebody and differentiate between believing in and believing on. Remember, we talked great lengths about believing in and believing on. There is a huge difference. We're going to try to show you a little bit more verses tonight to give you the equipment that you will need to be the soul winner that God would have you to be. Amen. Everybody at Acts 16, say amen. How many want me to be very short tonight and brief? Let's be honest, amen. Y'all been here last Wednesday and last Thursday and then Sunday and then Monday, amen, now on Wednesday. And so I'm going to endeavor to be brief, amen. So if y'all listen fast and I talk fast, we'll get done fast, amen. Can y'all listen fast? Now, if I don't hear any amens, I'm just going to keep preaching. So if I get some, you know, if I get some amens, it'll help me say amen. All right, God. If I get some amens, it'll help me to stop a little sooner. Amen. So Acts 16, 31 and verse 32. Let's go ahead and read that together. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Father, as we look at this area once again, Lord, differentiating between believing in and believing on, Lord, give us the discernment that we will need. Lord, give us the clarity that we will need. But most of all, God, help us to leave here with the information that we will need to lead someone to Christ. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the meetings that we had last week with Brother Farnham, Lord, the truths that he shared with us from the Word of God. Lord, now once again, equip us to be what we need to be here as we continue to study through the book of Acts, Lord. So many great things are here, and Paul, one of the greatest soul winners beside the Lord Jesus Christ, is showing us how to get people saved. Lord, we want to do the same thing. Help us to be soul conscious and soul aware of those that are around us in need of a Savior. Bless now the time that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Mark, could you give me a cup of water, please, brother? I would greatly appreciate that. Amen. Biblical salvation. Biblical salvation is both believing in and believing on Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, I thought it was just believing in." No, it's believing in and believing on. Believing in, we have looked at so far, is factual. And to be a genuine, born-again, blood-washed believer, you've got to believe in as well as believe on. And we talked about that in great lengths last time. And I began to show you some verses. And I want to finish showing you the rest of the verses tonight. But I want to preface that by saying we have Paul here. He's come through the persecution. He's come through the prison. The earthquake broke out. And God calls him to this man to get him saved. And he comes in there crying out. Everybody's gone. He's going to kill himself. Paul says, "Do thyself no harm," up there in the other verse there, in those verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And that's when Paul gives him what he needs to do: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We looked at several verses last time. Let me just repeat some of the things we talked about with that, because we're talking about the rebirth after the opposition. Paul had a lot of opposition in chapter 16 with demon possession. Have you ever been involved with demon possession or demon possessed people? That's people that you don't want to mess with. There's one right across the street. I see him all the time. Every time I go out there, he has a certain mannerism about him. And people that are demon possessed have certain mannerisms about them. Amen. They're not normal. Did you ever notice that? They are different. Amen. People that are in their right mind, they're not demon possessed, act a certain way. When people get demon possessed, they act strange. They do strange things. They make strange motions. They think strange things. And because of the strangeness, they act strange. And so if you ever had that, you don't want to have it again. Amen. I've had more than my share of people with demons. Amen. I'm not running down the street saying I'm an exorcist. I'm going to cast out demons. That's not my forte. Not at all. Amen. If we have to do it, amen, we'll do it, but we're not into that. Amen. Well, Paul then, having cast the demon out, gets put in jail because the gain of the master was gone. They accuse him. They lock him up, put him in the chains. They sing. They praise God. God sends an earthquake. They break. The doors come open. The bands come off. And the Philippian jailer thinks that everybody's gone. So he comes in, he's going to kill himself. And Paul said, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." He comes in, brings him out, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And I want you to pay special attention to the fact that he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Paul would have given the jailer and his house the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they could indeed believe on the Lord. And we made the distinction. Believing in is factual. Okay, I believe that Linda's parents are here today. That's factual. I believe they drove a van. That's factual. Now, y'all don't know that, but I've seen the van. Amen. That is a blue van, right? That's factual. Okay, I believe that. But guess what? They had to actually get in the van, turn it on to get here. Amen. They could believe all they want to in the van, that the van will take them here. But if they don't get in the van, turn the van on, and then go, guess what? They'll still be in South Dakota, and Linda will be sad. So what did they have to do? They had to physically get in the vehicle, turn the vehicle on, rest on the vehicle to take them where they want to go, which was here in Tucson. And so when we talk about believing in, you can believe in the van, but until you actually get in the van and turn the van on and sit on the van is not going to take you anywhere. Y'all with me? Okay. And so it is with believing in and believing on. Paul would give them the gospel. Believing on is different than believing in. Believing in is factual. Believing on is trusting or relying. And we looked at several verses, and I made this comment. The average church has 70 to 75% of its membership that is not saved. Oh, and I got that jaw-dropping look. Why? Because people are believing in Jesus and not believing on Jesus. Anybody can believe in Jesus. The devils also believe and tremble, the Bible says. Amen. And so many have the intellectual or the factual faith, or the temporal faith, or the foxhole faith, as you call it, but not many have genuine faith. Say, "Preacher, how can you say that?" Because the Bible says, "Few there be that find it. Few there be that be saved," the Bible says. And so you can have the intellectual or temporal faith, and that normally is comprised of three things. I said religion, ritual, or routine. You do what you're supposed to do, and you do it well. Religion, ritual, and routine. Genuine salvation and genuine saving faith has repentance, righteousness, and a relationship. Remember I mentioned those three? So you're either going to have ritual, routine, and religion, which is what we do most of the time, which many people have, or you're going to have genuine repentance, a genuine righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, and genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a vibrant relationship. You know God, he knows you. You're his son and or his daughter, and he's your father. you know Jesus Christ, you're very familiar with the Holy Spirit because he convicts you often. He talks to you often. He woos you often. You're very familiar with him. It's a relationship. But when you have religion, ritual, and routine, you don't have a relationship because you never had repentance, so you never had righteousness, so you didn't get saved. Y'all with me? Amen. And so that's why churches are filled with so many people that are not saved, because somebody came to them and said, "We just need to believe in Jesus." Well, it's more than believing in Jesus. I need to believe on Jesus. I need to have faith and confidence in and on him. Amen. And we mentioned that's the beginning. Amen. We mentioned that they both look alike. They both have works. They both go to church. They both have morals. They both read the Bible. But only one is genuinely saved. Why do you think that Jesus Christ is going to have the sheep and the goats on separate sides? Why do you think that he's going to have to separate them? Why do you think there's going to be a rapture or a snatching out? Because the Christians look just like the non-Christians. And Jesus Christ himself has got to take them out. Think about it. How many of y'all know I'm saved? Devin said he knows I'm saved. Now, let me help you out. You believe I'm saved. Devin believes it. Now, I act like I'm saved. But haven't you seen unsaved people act saved? Now, thank you for the comment, Jen. The compliment. Amen. Praise God that he does think I'm saved. Amen. I'd hate to think I'm unsaved up here. Amen. But guess what? You don't know if I'm saved. You sincerely hope that I'm saved. You pray that I'm saved. You're saying, "Man, preacher, you've got to be saved. If you're not saved, what hope is there left for us?" Hey, I remember Carmen doubted her salvation over in Belgium. I mean, she went through the whole routine and went and made up another profession, got baptized, and guess what? Everybody else in the church started saying, "If she ain't saved, I ain't saved either." Don't measure yourself up by somebody else. To measure yourself up to the Bible, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the Word of God. Amen. Oh, don't look at me and say, "Well, if I'm not like pastor, I must not be saved." No. What does Jesus say? Amen. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So even though all of you think I'm saved, only two people know that I'm really saved. Me and God. My wife don't even know about it. She hopes I'm saved. She prays that I'm saved. I act saved. I don't act like a heathen. Not all the time, at least. But guess what? Only God knows and only I know if I'm truly saved. And so only you know if you believed in or believed on Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is dealing with here in this area here. By the way, why do we need to be saved? Because we're all sinners. Let me give you some facts here. This tickled me. I read this the other day talking about our sin. How many of y'all sin at least once a day? How many sin twice a day? How many sin at least three times a day? How many sin more than three times a day? Okay, if we're honest, we all sin more than that. Amen. It says this, man cannot save himself. The Bible points out that we fall short of God's standards mentally, verbally, and physically. Have you ever thought just how many times a day it is possible to sin? It goes on to say, let's just suppose you sin only three times a day. Once verbally by saying a wrong word. Once mentally by thinking a wrong thought. Once physically by committing a wrong deed. Just three sins a day. That would be over 1,000 sins a year. That would be over 70,000 sins in an average lifetime if you died at about 70. The question that comes to mind is, what if you were to stand before a court of law in your city with 70,000 crimes on your record? What would that judge let you go free? 70,000 crimes? He'd throw the book at you. He wouldn't even throw the book at you. He said, "You ain't worth the book." Amen. We're just going to, trap door going to open up, you going down automatically. Amen. Says, would you expect the judge to be just and do what is right? You must not expect any less from God. If a human judge is that way, guess what? If we have 70,000 sins, isn't God got to judge that? Yes, he does. He goes on to say this. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Genesis 18:25. God, the judge of all the earth, is right 100% of the time. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We are all guilty before God. God will by no means clear the guilty, according to Exodus 34:7. Does it sound like that no one is going to heaven? No one would if it were based on performances in this life. Can you see that because of your sins and my sins that you cannot make it into heaven on the basis of your good works? Now, by the way, that's what religion, routine, and ritual is. It's good works. But on the other side, if I'm going to believe in and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have repentance. I've changed my mind about God. I've changed my heart about God. I've turned from my sin. I've turned to God. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm going to exchange my sin because he died for it on the cross. I'm going to put it on the cross where it was at. I'm going to accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm going to enter into a relationship, and that's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're only believing in, you have come short of trusting in Christ because you're not on him. You're just saying, I believe in him, and that's factual. So believing on, as he talked about, encompasses both believing in and believing on. And there is a difference. There is a huge, huge difference. There was something else back here. This is a sample prayer that they give you after reading this book. This book is called Jesus Saves. Pretty good book. It says, pray this prayer, something like this. Lord Jesus, I now, notice this word, transfer my trust from myself and the things in which I have been trusting, and I place my trust entirely in and on you. Did you get that? Now, what did Brother Farnham talk about? Self-dependence, self-indulgence, and self-importance. It's all about me. This says, now, I'm transferring my trust from myself and my things that I've been trusting in, and I'm placing my trust entirely on you. So in other words, I'm no longer going to hold myself up. I gave the illustration. I'm going to get into the pew, so to speak, and I'm going to get and rest on Jesus Christ. No longer am I going to be resting on my own efforts. I'm going to rest in Christ. Let me get Jeremiah, come up here for a second. You're about the only one that I can do this to besides my wife. Now, Jeremiah is walking up here of his own accord. Now, how much do you weigh, Jeremiah?
About
73
pounds.
73 pounds. I can do that. Amen. Now, Jeremiah now no longer is resting on himself. You sure you're only 75 pounds? How does it feel?
Easy.
Now, if he wanted to go back to his chair, he could walk, but I could carry him. Notice what he says. He says, easy, I want to clunk your head. So now, what's going on here? Jeremiah is trusting on me because he's resting on me. He didn't have to walk one step to get back here. Thank you, Jeremiah. That is what the Bible means when it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest securely on him. Trust securely on him. Put everything in his hands when it comes to your salvation. Think about it. When the Philippian jailer is being told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what he's being told to do. Get in the arms of Christ. Rest on Christ. Let Christ carry. No longer trusting your religion, your ritual, and your routine. Repent, turn from your sin. Come on over here. I'm going to give you some righteousness, and I've got a relationship, and I'm going to carry you when it comes to the area of salvation. If you're trying to hold yourself up and you try to work for it, guess what? You're not going to make it. You can't do it. So he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of the prayer says this. I repent and turn away from my sins and will follow you. I now receive your gift of eternal life. Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you might not have prayed something like that. But guess what? Something as simple as what Paul said. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Or something as simple as the publican, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm repenting, I'm asking for mercy, I'm asking for forgiveness, and I'm asking to enter into a relationship, I'm asking you to carry me, and that's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you're dealing with someone or witnessing to someone and trying to get them to Christ, make sure that they differentiate between believing in and believing on. Had a dear couple just on Sunday that got saved. And they said, well, we think we're saved, but we don't know. And if what the preacher said is true, then we're probably not saved. I gave them this simple illustration. I said, either you're believing in or you're believing on. And I said, right now you have knowledge of Jesus Christ, don't you? Yeah. I said, but you don't know if you're saved, right? Because you're not believing on him. You're not trusting on him solely. They had a bunch of other stuff. The Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he should direct thy path. Leaning is this. Well, it's helping me. No, Jesus don't need no help. He don't need any help at all. He's going to do it all. And so that's why the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to help God out. Just trust his word and he can take you there. By the way, he's capable. He's able. He's more than able. Amen. So with that said, we're going to look at some of these verses here because he says that they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. We talked about how the Bible says over and over and over and over again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we very rarely see that. We left off with John chapter 9. So go over there real quick. We're going to go through a lot of verses very, very quickly. So y'all bear with me. Amen. If you're not there, we're going to read that just the same. John 9:35. This is the blind man. I may remember the blind man. They chucked him out of the temple because Jesus had healed him. And by the way, did everybody that get healed from Jesus get saved? No. Not everybody that he healed did he save. Some did. Some didn't. This blind man here got healed, but he didn't get saved. Pick it up at John chapter 9. Let's go to verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. This is the blind man talking. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. This is the blind man talking to the Pharisees. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin. They said, get out of here. And dost thou teach us? Yeah, he's teaching you a pretty good lesson there. Amen. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found them, he said unto him, dost thou, notice this, believe on the Son of God? Jesus came back and says, do you believe on the Son of God? Are you trusting on him? Are you having your confidence on him? I know you believe in him, but are you on him? And notice what he says. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might, what? Believe on him. Who is he, Lord, that I can put my trust in him? I can put my confidence on him. Who is he, Lord, that I can turn to him and let him carry me? Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Notice what he said. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he what? Worshipped him. That's a change. That's a change. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Show you another scripture area here. Go over to John chapter number 11. John chapter 11. And this is the religious leaders talking to Jesus, or talking about Jesus, I should say. John chapter 11, notice verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did. What is that word? Believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will what? Believe on him. They're going to trust him. They're going to put their confidence on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So again, what did he say? He said, look, everybody's going to believe on him. They're going to trust on him. They're going to put their confidence on him. What they're saying? They're saying, hey, look, we're not going to have them believing on us as the religious leaders anymore because this Jesus guy is going to take them away. Show you another scripture area here. Go over to John chapter 17. This is Jesus in his priestly prayer, praying for you and I and praying for the disciples. And when he comes up to the disciples, he says this. Notice verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. It's John chapter 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Speaking of his disciples. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Speaking of the disciples. Notice this. But for them also which shall believe what? On me through their word. The disciples were going to go out and start witnessing. He said, I'm not just praying for the disciples, the 12. I'm praying for everyone who they talk to, who then believes on me or trusts on me or puts their confidence on me. Again, it's not just believing in, it's believing on. And I think most people miss that simple phrase of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go down to, let me see, what's the next one we got here? John, or Acts chapter 11. This is Peter talking to the Jews at Jerusalem, Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, Let's pick it up at verse number 13. Again, there are more verses in here talking about believing on the Lord than you ever really recognize. And Peter is speaking to the Jews at Jerusalem. Verse 13 says this, "And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what? Saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who what? Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted what? Repentance unto life. Why? Because they believed on the Lord. See, it's all throughout Scripture. Believing on the Lord, believing on the Lord, believing on the Lord, believing on Jesus. Go over to Acts chapter 18. I'll show you another instance of this. Acts 18. And again, the issue that I'm trying to do is arm you so that when you go out and talk to somebody, if they just say, I believe in Jesus, you've got to go a little deeper and make sure they're not just believing in Jesus, they're believing on Jesus and trusting on him, not just in him, factually. Why? Intellectually and factually, anybody can do that. Temporally, anybody can do that when they're in trouble or on a hot seat. Lord, save me because I'm on a hot seat right now. Then guess what? When it gets cool, guess what? You forgot all about Jesus. Why? You never believed on him because you never repented of your sins. Where did I tell you? Acts 18? Notice verse number 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed what? Believed on the Lord. With who? All his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So not only did Crispus believe, everybody in his house believed on the Lord. And then many of the Corinthians heard and were baptized. Amen. Go over to Acts chapter 19. One chapter over. And this is a group of John's disciples here. And it came to pass, chapter 19, verse 1, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? They said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Let's stop right there. Can you be saved without the Holy Ghost? When you get saved, what do you automatically get? Holy Ghost. He seals you and he preserves you. The Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's the earnest of the purchased possession, showing that you belong to God. He is the mark that seals you and who is in you to guide you. And so these guys say, we ain't even heard about no Holy Ghost. Are they saved? No, they're not saved. Why? They just got baptized with John's baptism. And they're going to tell you that. Notice what he says down there. Verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should what? Believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They made a public profession of faith. They got saved right there. Then they received the Spirit of God afterwards. Amen. So they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ there. I'll show you another one over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And whilst we're going to Romans chapter 4, Devin, look up Acts 20 and 21, if you would. Romans 4. 24 for the rest of us. Devin's going to look up Acts 20 and 21. And notice this one. This one's a little different. Romans 4 and verse 24. Speaking about the faith of Abraham. It says here, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe, what is this? On him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now who is that believing on? God the Father. Believe on him. What did Jesus say? They said, let us work the works of God. He said, this is the work that you need to work. Believe on him whom he has sent. So in other words, I got to believe God and believe Jesus as well. Why? The three are one. Devin, read Acts 20 and verse 21. Amen. Repentance toward God and faith toward who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So both of them are there. And so you find that believing on the Lord is believing in God as well and believing on God as well. Amen. And let's go over to Philippians now. Let's get into some of the epistles here real quick. Philippians. We got like three more left, and then we're going to stop. Because I really want to equip you with some verses that you can show people where it says believing on, making sure that they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, and notice verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So he said, if you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to suffer as well. Believing on him and suffering for his sake. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go over there real quick. Again, all these are saying just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than just believing in. Anybody can believe in. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice verse 15. It says this. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter, what? Believe on him to life everlasting. So you find it over and over and over and over again. Believing on, believing on, believing on. Don't let people stop short of saying, I believe in. It's got to go deeper. It's got to go deeper. That's why so many people are in trouble right now in churches. They're in danger thinking that they're saved. They've never repented. They never entered a relationship with Jesus Christ. They never got the righteousness because they're still on the other side saying, I believe in, I believe in, I believe in. See, it does you no good to believe in if you're not going to believe on. Amen? Does it do you any good to believe in the church if you're not going to come in the church? Oh, yeah, that's a church. And you stay outside. It's not going to do you any good. You got to come on in and sit on the pew. Amen. So believing in and believing on. Last area here. Go over to 1 John chapter 5. This is one of my favorite areas. 1 John chapter 5. So again, as you deal with people, make sure they fully comprehend that believing in is not the same as believing on. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Many of you know this area of scripture because you go on soul winning with it all the time. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. Now, he that hath the Son hath what? Life. How do I get the Son? By believing on him and getting inside of him. It doesn't happen by osmosis, by me saying, yeah, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. No, I got to believe on that. I got to trust that. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So either I'm believing on Jesus Christ or I'm just believing in him. You have to ask the question, which one am I? Am I believing on? Did I put all my faith and confidence and trust on him? Did I truly and solely sell out and say, just like Jeremiah, carry me? Or am I trying to get some religion involved with that? Some ritual with that, some routine. Oh, Lord, let me help you out some here. Let me read my Bible so I can go to heaven. Let me go over here and get baptized so I can go to heaven. Let me join the church so I can go to heaven. Let me give a tithe so I can go to heaven. Those are great things. But those are not things that will get you the entrance of heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He says down there, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that what? Believe on the name of the Son of God. What am I believing? That he died for my sins. He was buried for my sins. He rose again the third day for my sins. Not for the whole world, which he did do that. But I've got to personalize that and say, it's for me. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I didn't see anybody else. I wasn't worried about anybody else. The only one I saw going to hell was me. And I was saying, woe is me, for I am undone and unclean. Mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. And guess what? I was naked and ashamed and embarrassed. And I said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And guess what? I didn't see anybody. It was just me and God. And I did business with God. Yes.
I'm sorry,
1 John chapter 5 and verse 13.
Yes, but what was the one in Timothy?
1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16.
Oh,
okay. Notice verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have what? eternal life, and that ye may what? Believe on the name of the Son of God. This was like gold for me when I first got saved. Because I went back and replayed what I did, what I asked for, how I repented, how I asked Jesus to save me, how I asked Jesus to forgive me, and I said, that's me. That's a promise. I have the Son. I have life. I've repented of my sins. I entered a relationship with Him. I've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I have the Son, so I have life. That was gold for me. If you're saved, that's gold for you. Because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? If you only believed in Him, you're in trouble. You're in danger. And you will be in danger trying to get somebody else saved. Because if you only believed in, guess what? That's probably all you're going to tell them is to believe in. But it goes a step further. See, I can believe in this ring and say, you know, this ring will make me and Carmen married. But guess what? I got to make a commitment to her. Ring, I mean, there's a whole bunch of rings on the shelf. That don't make me married. The ring goes into effect when I put it on her finger, she puts one on my finger, and we commit to each other. And I say, look, with this ring, I thee wed. Rich or poor, sickness and health, death, life, goodness, good times, bad times, every time. When I make the commitment. When I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is when I make the commitment. So when Paul, go back to Acts 16:31. So when Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house, he would have given him the gospel that could save his soul. And with that gospel message that he gave to him and his family, they got saved. And after they got saved, they got baptized down there to show they're following the Lord. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And I'm here to tell you that I don't think Paul went and got some easy believism and just dunked them in the water. I think Saul wanted to make sure they fully understood believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if there are people in that house that are young children, they have to be saved too. And baptism shows the newness of life. And so they came back rejoicing. Notice verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. Rejoice, believing in God with all his house. Now it says believing in God, but guess what? He had to believe on him first. Got to believe in and then believe on. And now he's saved with his house. Praise God. And so the rebirth after the opposition, Paul wanted to make sure that this man was ready to get saved. And he was. Folks, as we go out soul winning and as we go out door knocking, as you share the gospel with your coworkers, please don't sell them short with just believing in. Don't sell them short with that. Make sure they comprehend what believing in and on actually means. Because anybody can believe in. Most people do. But it's on that makes the difference. It's the commitment that makes the difference. Jesus Christ has already committed to us. Now our job is to commit our life to Him. In the same way I carried Jeremiah all the way back there, guess what? Jesus Christ will carry us all the way to heaven. By the way, you can't get there on your own anyway. How many of you know the directions? How do you get there? See, I don't care if you're Air Jordan. You can't jump that high. You can't get there. God's got to carry us. And the only way He's going to carry us is we believe on Him. I ask you the question, did you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ when you got saved? Did you believe on Him? Or did you stop short in just believing in Him? Because you got to believe on Him.
Pastor Dawson, it says in verse 31 that you in your household, mm-hmm. you say it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe on the Lord, then consequently your household would be?
No, they all had to make personal professions of faith. Those that get the word of God, reread it. Notice what it says. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. They spake the word of God to everybody in the house. Everybody had to make an individual choice.
Okay.
There's no household salvation, sister. It don't work that way. Amen. Amen. So we'll finish up a little bit more of this next time, but just wanted to make sure we really, truly understand the difference between believing in and believing on, because it is a difference, and the Bible repeats it over and over and over and over. Amen. We're going to have a word of prayer here. Mrs. Dawson wants to meet with the ladies going on the retreat up front here. The rest of us just grab a partner and pray about the ladies' retreat, that they'll have safety. Pray for Brother Duffy as he is in the hospital now. Pray for Linda's family. They'll be heading out Saturday, going to Texas. Pray for them and pray for each other. Pray for Sunday service as well. Good to see Shirley's doing better. Amen. Pray for her as well. She's got her mouth closed, so... Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Diane's, thank you for reminding me about that. Diana Smith's mother-in-law, which is John's mother, is still in ICU with some complications there. So continue to pray for that as well. But amen. So let's pray, and those that need to meet, and then you can be dismissed. Father, thank you once again for the Philippian jailer, Lord, and Paul. And going to him toe-to-toe, letting him know that he must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he could be saved. Lord, then he spoke to him the word of God and to all that was in his house, and they got saved. And then gloriously baptized, Lord. Help us now, Lord, as we share the gospel with others. Lord, help us not to give them a quick profession of faith. Help us not to give them a quick, ready solution. But Lord, help us to make sure that there's repentance involved, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to make sure they enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and make sure that they get the righteousness that the blood of Jesus Christ affords. Lord, otherwise, once we're done with them, believing in only and not on, we'll leave them with ritual, with routine, and Lord, and with religion. And that won't get them to heaven. So Lord, help us to be cognizant of the fact that we must be careful giving out the gospel, not to give people a false sense of security, thinking they have something that they don't possess. They have no desire for the things of God. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. Minister in us and through us. Help the ladies as they discuss the retreat. Help them have a blessed time. And then us men, Lord, give us safety with our children as we stay behind with Diana's mother-in-law, Lord, with the ICU unit there. We'll work out the details there. And most of all, raise up Brother Duffy. Give the doctors the wisdom that they need down there to diagnose properly him. Thank you and love you for what you've done in our life, Lord. Minister in us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. You can break down into groups. And once you get done, please be sensitive to those that are still praying as you sneak out.